The NHL is obviously still, if you take a look in your dressing room, it's a big man's league, but once upon a time it was only that. Now we're starting to see teams like Tampa having the success they have with players who are good, not in spite of their size, but sometimes because of it. I'm interested in your take on what's changed in the league that allows that now.
It's easier to come into this league as a young man than it was before, by virtue of less clutching and grabbing, and it's a less mean game. Those kids needed time to physically get strong enough just to handle the grind. The grind is almost more in your legs than skating now. Can you keep up? Can you keep pace? So you have younger kids that aren't quite as physically developed come in and have success. You see that really this year especially, I think. Most of the teams that we would be talking about also have a Hedman, a Boyle, Suster, pick your 6'5" man as well, and we've got Myers and Lowry, and so we've got enough big guys that you can carry a smaller man, and he doesn't have to play that game. It doesn't change who you are as a team. I don't know. I don't know that it ever though really mattered. I mean, Darcy Tucker was as tough a player that, you know, at 175 pounds maybe. So the compete on the puck, Charlie and I were talking about, you know, in his time, you know, everybody had to get into a fight. Everybody knew the list, right? Everybody on your team had to get in one a year. Those days are so far gone now that a purely skilled small guy that can skate can play 15 years in this league.
Having talked to players like Chase DeLeo and Nick Petan, it's obvious those guys pay attention to guys like Tyler Johnson and what they do to have success. What can Nick Petan learn from the triplets that's going to make him a better player?
There's just an awful lot of really good young players to watch now. At the end of the day, you still are going to get into a one-on-one confrontation at some point on the ice with a player. You're not asking those guys to put that other player in his butt. You're asking them to come up with a puck. So what they're learning, our guys now are learning, is how to compete in those one-on-one battles and use what they have, great hand skills, great quickness, to protect the puck, to steal the puck, to win that battle, win it a different way. They're, all these guys, their hand skills and their vision is just better than most players. If they can win enough of those one-on-ones, and it doesn't even have to be a physical one-on-one. If they can come up with a puck enough times, control the puck enough times, then they're going to get the chance to do the things that other players can't do, their vision, the way they move the puck, the way they pass the puck. They just have to be able to win enough one-on-ones in their own skill set to buy them time to use the skills that they do have.
Paul, assuming you're coming with Andre tonight, are you trying to get some momentum going with your number one?
No, looked at the schedule. I know where, you know what, the decision on who's going to play the bulk of the games isn't going to get made till later when our schedule gets heavier. We'll get into, I haven't used the word rotation, but you'll see more of both guys in our heavier stretch. We have confidence in both of them. Habs played really well at the key times for us last year, so he's earned that right to get the nod. But the competition will always be there. We're going to get good goaltending, we feel, from both guys. We're going to use both guys. I'm not giving Pav the ball to run with it because their schedule won't allow it. And there's going to come a point in time where Hutch will get a few more starts in there.
Paul, we spent a lot of time talking about the dynamic forwards of the Lightning yesterday. How do you prepare for a guy like Victor Hedman, who's kind of a budding blue liner?
Yeah, I thought going back to last year, there wasn't a whole lot of talk about Tampa's defense, and then they got into the final, and people started to appreciate Hedman. And the guys from Tampa can tell me, I mean, he has never had a long stretch of health in his career. And then as soon as he had his good stretch of health, everybody said, hey, this guy's a great player. And he has been. But that whole group, we find them to be, and watched their playoff games last year, the most active group off the rush, very active in the offensive zone. Their gap in the D zone is as good as anyone's. And the puck goes back to the point, they'll go to man-to-man real hard. There's not a lot of room. They make good plays. So it's true of their team, and I guess this is true of every team. When you have a player like Steven Stamkos, you come to town, we're going to spend 75% of our time talking about him. Their game is a team game. And a lot of it for me is based on that back end. what they can do in their own end, how they move the puck, how they join the rush, opens up ice for their offensive guys. You know, that fourth guy in on the rush gives Johnson some room, you know, pulls the gaps off the other players. So back end is very, very strong.
But speaking of Steven Stamkos, you coached against him early in his career. Are there different challenges now that he's a little bit older than there were that maybe weren't there when he was younger?
Oh, all kinds, which is true of all these players, because the physical player is completely different. He's bigger, stronger, faster. But what you see with all of those guys is the experience factor that they don't have when they first come in. Now these guys have a book on every defenseman. There are guys they're going to try one-on-one. There's guys they're going to try to get the shot off. Some guys block, some guys don't. So I think what you have is game awareness with him now. I thought that at times when they needed it in the playoffs last year, he got real physical in games, went hard at guys, ran guys. So he's rounded his game into being more than just a shooter. And I think early on they rely on their great strength. And for him, as the one-timer, getting it off his stick, and now there's just an awful lot more that goes with his game. And a big chunk of that is he knows the league.
Coach, now that you've had the benefit of a preseason and a training camp with this group, have you tried to implement some things to make your teams look a little different as opposed to last year?
We started last year's camp with a real defined structure of what we were going to work on, and we pretty much stuck with that the entire year. We stay with that and then try to add some things that I think our team looks different than it did last year on paper and on the ice. We start this year with Bufflin and Myers and Sherrod on our blue line, and we did not start the season there last year, so our defense is a different-looking group. Probably the style of play of the four players, the four forwards that we finished the season with that went out would be more of a defense-first mentality. So we have at least three and maybe four of the guys that came in have a bit more offense in their game, so they're trying to bring that to the table. So there's a bit of a balance there. We've made additions to our game, as we like to say. We haven't changed our game. We are like Tampa. We feel our back end can get up in the ice and join the rush and be involved. And we feel we can make more plays at the offensive line. There's a little bit of a cost to that and a learning curve to that. But we're going to live with it to learn how to do it. And as long as the foundation from last year doesn't change as our main focus, we'll hopefully grow and become a better team because of it by the end of the year.
How do you limit the number of red zone chances that you give up? What do you do? What do you work with on your team to limit those?
How the puck gets there first. So where the puck get into that hole? Why is the puck in the hole? So we would say that right now, and it was true of last year, rush chances against from being slightly over-aggressive in the offensive zone was our biggest number. Our D-zone was actually pretty solid. And then little addition here this year, more neutrals top of the circles from the offense, so not from the corners to our end, more tops of the circles to the blue line. A few more turnovers, a few more four guys in on the rush, and the puck doesn't get to the net. So that's the first piece. Ask yourself that question, how's the puck getting into the hole? And then your reaction to it. So sticks, mostly. I mean, where are your sticks? Where are your bodies? Are you above the puck? Are you under it? So that's almost some compete things. And then so there's some system stuff to it, some compete things. We're not that far off our number that we'd like to be. We've had our number right on in three games and right off in three games. So we're going to keep working toward to being right.
When you say sticks, is it stick positioning? Is it simple as stick on the ice sometimes?
It starts there. Watch Montreal. I mean, for me, and Brian will tell you, I don't know that in my time in the league that I've ever seen a team consistently year after year that was as good a stick on puck as the Montreal Canadiens. They were always so good defensively with that, and I think they still are. It's in how they practice. It's in their culture of what they do. You would, you know, watch the games. Watch games late in the games. The number of times you see forwards, especially with the sticks in the air, not just our team. I mean, and then the good teams don't, right? They're just consistent with it. So that's a starting point. The intensity level as well. We do not play a passive D zone. We're not giving them the outside and sitting back and blocking a tremendous number of shots. We can improve in that area as well, though.
You said that prior to the season that you would be watching 3-on-3 for trends and for all kinds of things. It's changing rapidly.
Yeah.
Like you're seeing, at first it was all, we were worried about, there was going to, not worried, but we were talking about it was going to be all kinds of chances, and all of a sudden it's become you want one chance. You don't want, and you want it to be, because you don't ever want to miss the net, and you don't want the goalie to be able to deflect it, and it's become even more puck possession. What are you working on? You haven't been in one yet, but what are you working on in the background?
So those are the themes. We won't be specific about how we view it, but you're right, those are the themes. You saw Evander Kane the other night pull the puck out from inside the blue line and take it to the back of his own net at the other end, so that's a theme. You know, control the puck first. What I think we saw in that game also was the first bit of defense-only mindset. Toronto put three guys out on the ice, and they weren't going out there to score. They were going out to shut down, and that was we'll watch for a little bit more. Nobody, I don't think, thought that we would get to that. They'd pick your offensive guys and make sure their offensive guys don't match in lines, and three-on-three wasn't something we saw early on, and now we're starting to wonder if that's coming in. So we watch them all. Just try to watch those themes.
There's a theory out there they're going to put a shot clock because they don't want to just watch one team hold the puck for it to get one chance at 3 minutes.
I will tell you what, the players will always make the adjustments faster than coaches, fast as their managers. They'll always figure it out faster than we do. I mean, you saw it in 06 when you couldn't touch a guy. They were going down as fast as they could, and they figured that out. Then they changed the rules and figured out a different way to do it and different kinds. Players will always make the adjustment. So they figured out that you've taken a shot from outside the dots. Doesn't get you a whole lot except for an odd man rush going the other way, so you just don't see those very much anymore. And it's going to be down the pipe, and they're going to wait for those. You see crossings in the offensive zone, and you see players comfortable pulling the puck into the neutral zone. The offensive zone, that'd be really great just 3-on-3 if you had vanishing blue lines. And then there might be one shot in 5-on-5. Win the faceoff, wait, let her wind down and wait for your shot, right? We'll see. Players will figure it out. Coaches will try to keep up with them.